Hello and welcome to the monthly edition of the Garmin-Kansas City Marathon podcast here on 810WHB.com. I'm Race Director Dave Borchard. Thanks so much for tuning in. Got a big, big podcast for you today. Coming up next segment, we'll talk to Matt Bates. He is the Product Marketing Manager for Garmin Fitness. They unveiled two brand new devices on Global Running Day on June 2nd. So we'll talk to Matt about that. One is kind of for the newbie runner or maybe someone who's ran for a long time but never had a GPS watch. The other is top of the line, super high end for you hardcore runners out there. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk to Matt Bates, Product Marketing Manager from Garmin Fitness, next segment. And then coming up later in the podcast, we'll talk to Julian Sugasegoitia. He is the director and CEO of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. Of course, one of the big stories around this year's Garmin KC Marathon is the new course that will be starting and finishing on 47th Street right in front of Kansas City's iconic Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. So we'll talk to Julian later in the show about that, what's going on at the Nelson Atkins this summer, and what the pandemic was like for the Nelson Atkins, who had to close down for quite a while. So an interesting conversation with him about that, as well as the new course that will start and finish in front of the Nelson Atkins. A couple notes I wanted to provide to you, that we will have a price increase for the Garmin Kansas City Marathon coming up on June 14th. So that Monday, pretty much at midnight. So right when the clock strikes midnight and Sunday night, June 13th becomes Monday, June 14th, we will have a price increase. So if you haven't signed up yet for this year's Garmin KC Marathon, again, race date is Saturday, October 16th. Make sure to sign up before the prices increase on June 14th. And just a reminder, we do have all four of the most popular race distances, 5K, 10K, half marathon, full marathon, whatever your distance, whatever your fitness level, we've got a race for you. And you can even come walk any of the distances other than the full marathon. So if you just want to get out there and experience the race day atmosphere, you can come walk the 5K, 10K, half marathon. The time limit does not allow people to walk the full marathon, but you know, we had a gentleman that was in his 80s walk our half marathon a couple years ago with a walker, a very inspiring sight. So if you're just looking to get motivated, get off the couch, I would love to have you come out and run or walk the 5K or 10K. Or if you're wanting to really push yourself, maybe it's the half marathon or full marathon. But again, prices increase June 14th. So register for this fall's Garmin KC Marathon before then. And you can do that on our website, kcmarathon.org. Also on our website, you can check out our free training plans. We have 12-week and 16-week training plans, and we want to let you know that the 16-week training plan kicks off later this month, towards the very end of the month on June 27th. So if it's your first half marathon, first full marathon, maybe you want to do that extra 4 weeks of training. Most plans would call for 3 months or 4 months of training. If you want to do the full 4 months, that 16-week training plan kicks off on June 27th. And again, you can get those free training plans from Eladio Valdez from The Runner's Edge, the official coach of the Garmin Kansas City Marathon. Get that free 16-week training plan at kcmarathon.org. And just a reminder, that kicks off late this month on June 27th. I will take a timeout right now. When we come back, we'll get into our interviews. Again, Julian Sugasegoitia from the Nelson Atkins coming up later in the podcast. But coming up next, Matt Bates, Product Marketing Manager from Garmin Fitness. We'll talk to him about big races returning in Kansas City and around the Midwest. We'll talk to him about Garmin's two new devices they just rolled out on Global Running Day. And we'll talk about running in the summer heat and humidity. If you're like me, you're maybe struggling to get used to that after what was a nice and cool spring. The heat and humidity have certainly arrived here in Kansas City. We'll talk about that as well with Matt Bates coming up next segment. All right, we'll take a timeout. You're listening to the June edition of the monthly Garmin KC Marathon podcast here on 810WHB.com. Welcome back. You're listening to the monthly Garmin Kansas City Marathon podcast here on 810WHB.com. I am Race Director Dave Borchard. Thanks so much for tuning in. And joining me now, one of my good friends, Matt Bates, Product Marketing Manager for Garmin Fitness. Matt, summer has arrived. How have you been doing since the last time we spoke?
Oh, Dave, good to talk to you again. I'm doing very well. As you know, sunshine is good for everybody. It was a very long winter.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I know you guys at Garmin were just back recently here at the start of June for your first, I think it's your first in-person event in terms of like sponsorship activation, probably since February or so of 2020. Tell us about Garmin getting back out at that Unbound Gravel event.
No, yeah, you're right. It's been about a year and a half, and so this weekend at the Garmin Unbound Gravel event in Emporia, Kansas, so right in our backyard. This is one of the largest gravel cycling races in the world, and we're lucky enough to have it in our backyard. And I went down there on Thursday, and we had our full booth and staff, and the excitement from the crowd was just amazing to see, and kind of get back into that feeling again, where people were happy to be around other cyclists, to be able to talk cycling, and then compounded with following CDC guidelines, most people were vaccinated or they were wearing pins to show that they had been vaccinated, so there was a comfort level of respecting each other's space. But you could just tell people were excited to be out and about and be out doing the things that they love and wanted to do with other people that are like-minded. So it was an incredible event. That race was sold out again, and yeah, I can't say enough about it. It was just fun. Everybody was happy, and it was super hot, super windy, and people were still just loving it and giving it 100%. It was great to see.
That's awesome. We had a similar experience. We hosted our first endurance event with the Kansas City Triathlon, first endurance event since pre-COVID, and we capped it at 500 participants because it was the first big event back in Jackson County, inside the county limits, and it sold out at 500 participants, and people showed up even though the day of the tri was storming and rainy, and we managed to squeeze it into a duathlon with storms before and storms after, but people were just so happy to be there. And I saw the same thing at the Hospital Hill Run at the beginning of June. So there's definitely a pent-up demand. I know there's a lot of people like me and you that really kept active during the pandemic, but a lot of new people as well that are just getting into biking, just getting into running, or maybe it's even getting started with a walking routine. So there's a big pent-up demand from endurance athletes, and then there's a whole new crop of runners and bikers too, which is pretty cool.
No, you're absolutely right. It was amazing to see, over the course of the last year, the number of new entrants into these certain segments. And Hospital Hill is a great example. So, you and I run a lot, and we have the people we run with. A couple folks that I run with, they picked up running as a way to, stay on top of their mental health throughout the last year. And we've been running every single weekend, whether it's 4 miles, 5 miles, whatever. Well, one of my running partners, he ran his first half marathon in Hospital Hill this last weekend. And so it's one of those, it's great to see and hear about people's stories of how they got started, and they've kind of felt like they had to do it out of necessity, and now it's just become a natural habit and a part of their life. And it's really inspiring, when you see people do this, and you've heard about it in years past, but to watch it play out is really a special thing. It's great to see.
Yeah, and I would say to our listeners out there that, if you're in a running group or you run with a crew in, Lee Summit or downtown or wherever, look for those newbies out there because there's a lot of them. Matt and I were talking before this interview that I saw a research study that said 28% of people who identify themselves as runners picked up the sport during the pandemic. So there's a lot of new people out there that are getting into running, and we'd love to have them get involved with these race events too, because we all know the training for running is pretty fun, Matt, but the real payoff is race day, right? I mean, that's the day you get to celebrate and reward yourself from the training through the terrible heat or the terrible cold or the storms or the 4 a.m. wake up with your alarm clock. So race day really is the big celebration. So it would be awesome if we could get these new runners into participating in races too.
That's right. And you hit the nail on the head. Like, if you can find a running partner, it doesn't matter how slow you start. It's a buildup, right? It's a process. So, our group, we started, last January, and it's okay, let's do a 10-minute mile pace. Great, no problem. This group that finished on Saturday, they finished under 2 hours. So it can be done. And it's the part about the 4 a.m. wake-up calls and all that. Yeah, that part hurts, and it's hot, and it's rainy. But when you toe the starting line, like, the anxiety and those butterflies, like the excitement, And then when you finally cross, it's just this emotional, it's kind of like this wave of, you know, highs and lows, and you just feel so good. And most people, I think, would say when they got done, if they trained properly or they put a certain amount of training into it, they're coming back because they're going to be drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, for sure. And I think every runner gets that feeling when they cross the finish line every time, if it's a 5K, 10K, half marathon, full marathon, an ultra marathon. But, you know, for me, I'll never forget the emotions of crossing the finish line for the first time with a full marathon. That's like one of those things that you may be in tears, and they may be happy tears, they may be pain tears, they may be both. But, like, it's pretty cool to, like, get out there and do a half marathon or a full marathon for the first time, knowing that, you know, we had Jeff Galloway at the race a couple years ago, and he talked to the crowd before the race and said, listen, less than 1% of people in the world ever run a full marathon. So, like, it's pretty cool to know you're pushing your body to the limits and you can do something like that. So,
yeah,
I was talking with some friends at the Hospital Hill Expo, and there was a guy saying, yeah, I'm doing the half marathon tomorrow, but, yeah, there's no way I could be ready for a full marathon on October 16th. I'm like, dude, you're way ahead of pace. Like, you have no idea. If you're running 13 miles on June 4th, like, you can rest for a couple weeks and then get ready for a full marathon. But I think a lot of people maybe think they can't do it. But, you know, I think almost anyone that can do a 5K or a 10K could do a half marathon. And then, you know, when you're talking about doing 10Ks or half marathons, then I think all those people could do a full marathon. It's just a matter of, you know, getting some good luck, staying healthy, and having that mindset to put in the training. But, like you said, it really is – that special feeling when you cross the finish line, I mean, that's what it's all about. And we try to remind people what they felt like when they crossed the finish line at the Garmin-KC Marathon. I think that's really what keeps people coming back.
I agree. After a year off, people will have a bigger appreciation because they've been thinking about it for 2 years. Like, people are now at the point where they're bored with just they're running every day or running every couple of days. Like, the Kansas City Marathon is going to be a blast. It really is. There's going to be so many people, so many runners. This is going to be a lot of fun.
I think what we've seen, too, with these sporting events coming back, and I ran in the trolley run, and there was a lot of spectators at the trolley run in April. I think there's going to be maybe more spectators than normal, even at the Garmin-KC Marathon. So, yeah, I'm excited. I think there is a pent-up demand for sure. Speaking of Matt Bates, product marketing manager for Garmin Fitness. All right, big news for Garmin. Global Running Day took place on June 2nd. You guys blew it out of the water with the launch of two new devices, one geared towards more of the, I don't know if elite's the right word, but definitely the hardcore runner that's looking for the best running watch available. And another one is geared towards kind of that newbie runner that we're talking about. Let's start with that entry-level watch, Matt, which is the Forerunner 55. And if someone's listening who is just getting into running, or maybe they've never had a real running watch and they've been trying to track their runs with an app or something, which isn't, you know, real dependable. What would you want people to know about the new Garmin Forerunner 55?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the Forerunner 55, this is one of those devices where you can pull it out of the box. There's a battery charge already ready to go. You can literally hit start and stop and go for a run immediately. If you want to take your time, pair it to the Garmin Connect app. You can get all set up, get all of your data, set up your heart rate zones. But it's one of those where the data fields are very easy to read. It has built-in GPS, wrist-based heart rate, some of those physiological metrics or data points that people want to learn about, like VO2 max, body battery. It's got several wellness features, you know, sleep metrics, menstrual cycle tracking, you know, the whole breadth of features in that area there. But it's really, we didn't put all of our high level running features in there, like running dynamics, like pace is in there, like stride length, vertical oscillation. Like, people, this level of runner just isn't there yet. This is for those folks that did start, you know, taking up running last year, and they're ready to identify as, okay, I'm a runner now. This is part of my life. I'm going to go 3 to 4 times a week. This is the device for that person. Or, you know, there is a certain segment of runners where they like to just keep it simple. I want distance, pace, speed, and maybe a few other metrics. This is the watch, the smart watch for them. It's really just a couple buttons. It's start, stop, and go. It really is that simple.
That's great. And I know it's got the same high-end GPS tracking that you would find in Garmin's top-of-the-line watches. So if anybody's wondering about that, it's not a matter of you're getting a cheaper Garmin that's not going to track as well. Like, this will track, you know, if you want to run, know exactly how far you're running and how fast you're running, this will give you that.
That's right. And for those, like, it's truly, once you turn it on and you acquire GPS, you know exactly how far you went. What makes this watch a little different from the previous generation is, you know, thinking about that newer runner, they don't know how or where to find a good training plan without being too confused, because there's so many options out there. So what we did pull down from one of our higher end runners or high end forerunners is it's called a daily suggested workout.
Oh, nice.
And we put that on the device. So when you turn your device on, in the, you know, first time you go to hit run, it'll say, hey, today's daily recommended workout is X. And it's usually, you know, you're not going to get a strength training workout in your running watch. It's going to give you a running suggested workout for the day. Like, today you need to do a base run for this long and at, you know, around this pace. And that's tailored to you as the runner or owner of the watch, as it learns your history and it learns, you know, some of your cadence and you know, your metrics, it will become more tailored to you. So that is on the device when you buy it. Like, you don't have to download anything separate. It just starts to learn you and you get those prompts. The other really cool feature that we put on there that I've used in the past and I find incredibly helpful is it's called Pace Pro. And we introduced Pace Pro on some of our higher end devices last year. And what this is, when you're following a course, you can go in and set up certain goals. Like, hey, I want to finish this course at a 9 mile pace or 8 mile pace, whatever the, you know, whatever your personal goal is. Well, this watch or this data field will tell you, hey, you need to be running at this pace right now. And it'll give you a plus or minus based on where you're at in location, you know, your course location. So if you're on a flat or a downhill, it's going to encourage you or prompt you to run a little faster pace because it knows you're going to be coming up to a hill where you're going to be running a slower pace. So it tries to average out so you can hit your goal at the end of the course. And for new runners and, you know, experienced runners that kind of get lost in their head and their mind wanders or they're listening to music, this is a really nice feature to make sure that you stay on track.
Those are two amazing features, especially considering, like you said, that's an entry-level price point for a great Garmin GPS running watch. I mean, the Pace Pro thing is awesome even for experienced runners, because I don't know how many experienced runners have, you know, had a race blow up on them because they tried to hold too fast a pace on an uphill or maybe didn't take advantage enough of a downhill. So that's awesome. And then you essentially get a free running coach built into your watch with that daily suggested workout feature. So those are both really, really cool on that new Forerunner 55 Garmin running watch. Let's talk about the other new device that you guys rolled out on Global Running Day, which is the top of the line, right? It's the Forerunner 945 LTE. And maybe this is geared more towards the hardcore runners that are running 4, 5, 6 times a week. They're training for half marathons, full marathons, ultra marathons. I mean, is that a good summary of that device? And what would you want people to know about the 945 LTE?
Yeah, at a high level, you hit the nail on the head. Think back to the Forerunner 945, which is still out there. It's still available. We're going to continue to sell it. That has every feature we can put into a running smartwatch that's relevant to those audience. So if you want to know about vertical oscillation, vertical ratio, you want to know your stride length, left-right balance, all of those high-end running features, it's in there. Or if you're a triathlete and you want to be able to use the triathlon activity profile to be able to toggle between running, cycling, swimming, downloading workouts, downloading courses, so on and so forth, still in there. What we've added is this LTE component. And what this does, it's really for safety. This is not a smartwatch that you're going to be talking and having a conversation with somebody. What this does is through the LTE functionality, it gives you another level of safety tracking. So on the device, I can leave my phone at home. I can go out for a really long run or a really long bike ride or whatever. It doesn't have to be really long. I can just go out, leave my phone at home. And if I have some sort of incident where, you know, let's say I'm running and I twist an ankle on a curb and I'm, you know, out in the middle of the Kansas field somewhere, on my device, I can press a button and that will trigger a call or a notification to the Garmin IERCC, which is the International Emergency Response Call Center. And that is a 24/7 call center that reaches out to our local emergency services. So if I'm out in this field, I twisted an ankle or something, I'm communicating through my watch. You know, it's a lot of button presses to spell out and identify what the issue is, because I might be talking to the local EMTs and they're like, okay, what's going on? Where are you? So we have that conversation, and if need be, they can send emergency services to my location. So that's another sense or a peace of mind that the athletes using that particular smartwatch can have when they go out and they, you know, they forgot their phone or they just don't want to be burdened by carrying it. That's kind of the down, you know, we don't want to say the negative, but that's the primary use case. The better, you know, some of the other fun stuff with the LTE components is live track. And this is where, you know, your friends and family will appreciate this more, but you can leave your phone at home again. And as soon as you start an activity, you can say, hey, I'm going to start my live track. So, you know, friends and family, they'll get a text message and they can see where you are based on the course that you've given, or you've if you freeloaded a course, they can see where you are at any given point in time. And historically, we have that now on our, with our devices, but the user has to be carrying their phone with them. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, again, you don't have to have your phone, leave it at home. Other cool thing is, your friends and family, when you're out running, like let's say you're at Kansas City Marathon and you passed mile 13 and you've hit the little split time mat, your friends and family will get a prompt or an email and say, hey, Dave just passed mile 13, here's his split time, and we'll send your contacts, a couple pieces of your information. Your friends and family then have the ability to send you a message right back saying, hey, great job, keep it up. And it's that spectator messaging component without having your phone on you.
That's awesome. Like you said, both those things are great perks for people that are out training for a marathon or an ultra marathon, especially if they're running by themselves. That safety feature is huge. And then so many friends and family want to do live tracking during race day, but I don't know if you're like me, Matt. Race day is one of the few times I don't carry my phone, and I love looking forward to not having that little bit of extra weight for, you know, 26 miles or 13 miles. So being able to let people track you live without having to carry the phone, that's a really cool little perk.
Absolutely. I'm right there. You and I have talked about this for forever. Like, I'm with you. I don't like carrying my phone, but not having it with me, but knowing that there's this peace of mind that if something bad happens, I can get a hold of emergency response services, or I can get a hold of my friends and family. But also, you know this on those longer days of working out, like there's just the ebbs and flows, and you know, sometimes you're having a bad day and getting an occasional, you know, rah-rah message from your wife or one of your kids, that does help. And so there's just a lot of cool things. And you're right, for high-end runners, cyclists, triathletes, ultra marathons, like this is the perfect watch for them. But this is also, again, you know, I think there's a lot of newbie runners out there that are data hungry, but more importantly, they also want that peace of mind. So I think, yeah, there's a lot of features in there that they're going to have to learn, but I really do believe this is a good mass market watch.
For any of the dads out there, we'll mention it is June and Father's Day is coming up. So you could certainly consider the Forerunner 945 LTE or the Forerunner 55 as Father's Day gifts, or for the men and women out there listening. The holidays are going to be here before we know it. So maybe put those items on your holiday wish list. And again, you can learn more and see both those great new devices and all the other Garmin devices at Garmin.com. Speaking of Matt Bates, Product Marketing Manager for Garmin Fitness. All right, Matt, I'm going to put you into the coach mode as we wrap up. I had something pop into my head when you talked about the heart rate tracking, right? It's something that
yep.
I'm trying to get more into my data, and especially when I do workouts. I like to look at it afterwards to see my heart rate and to see if maybe it was a little bit too high. And then combined with that, this is the time of the year when a lot of runners really struggle because it'll take you a good 2 or 3 weeks to start to acclimate to this warmer weather. I mean, you could have been killing it 10 days ago, and then if you went out and it's 72 in the morning with the dew point at like 70, you're going to have to slow down or your heart rate's just going to go crazy, and you'll notice that on your workout afterwards. I'm just kind of curious from your perspective as a Garmin guy as well as an endurance athlete. How close do you monitor your heart rate? Do you look at it every run? Do you look at it really on more of those workouts? And then, you know, how do you adjust when you get to this summertime and you're just not acclimated to the heat yet?
Oh, yeah, I'm right there with you. And yes, I look at my data after every single workout. It's just a natural time of year where everyone's heart rate and their VO2 max is going to go down. Well, heart rate's going to go up, VO2 max will go down. That's not a true picture of a person's fitness, because you may have been killing it to your point 10 days ago, but the heat and humidity just naturally brings our body exertion. It just brings it down. That doesn't mean your fitness has gone down. So a couple things. One, when I know that my heart rate, like, you know, I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, and where I went, it was really, really warm. And so I had to just slow it down a little bit. It wasn't the speed I wanted, but I had to get my heart rate back into a, you know, to a zone 3 or 4 just to maintain my run. Otherwise, I wasn't going to get the distance that I wanted. And part of that training, you know, a lot of training is based on distance. So you got to kind of play the game of what's important to you. Are you training by heart rate? Because if you are, then you're just going to have to slow down to get into that zone that you need. Or are you training to distance for that day? And if that's the case, then again, you're going to have to sacrifice, slow it down, but you got to get the distance in. So I think there's a little bit of trade-off there. But again, that's not somebody's true fitness level just because it gets hot and humid outside.
Yeah, I think one thing.
The other part.
Oh, go ahead.
So I was going to say one other thing that helps is, and this is a very minor thing, but it's kind of helps with people's mindset, is our devices, particularly the Forerunner 745 and the 945 series, will give you a prompt, you know, when the weather takes dramatic changes. After you complete a workout or, you know, whatever you're doing, an activity, it will tell you, hey, you're 23% acclimated to the heat or to the cold or to the altitude. So I know I was out this weekend in extreme temperatures on Saturday, and I got that prompt at the end of it. I'm like, man, I felt this is hard, and it's harder than it should be. And it was like, and the prompt came up. It was like, you are 35% acclimated to the heat. It's like, well, it's a good thing it's only June 6th.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. Yeah, and so a couple things I would say just to people out there is don't feel bad if you're out there in June and you're saying like, oh my gosh, I can't hold this pace I held a week or two ago, or I was at a family meal a couple days ago. My brother-in-law said, yeah, I'm doing 3 or 4 miles most days, but the other day I just had to take some walk breaks, and I'm like, yeah, it's a real deal. Like, it's not that you suddenly lost all your fitness, but it'll take, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 weeks or whatever to get acclimated to the heat. So just know that it will get better. Stick with it. Eventually it will be more bearable. Not to say that running and training in the summer is the best time of year to do it. But if you can, and some people love the heat. It's funny, I don't. I would certainly tell people, if you want to be as comfortable as possible, try that 6 or 7 a.m. or 7 or 8 p.m. when you can get a little bit of break and not have the direct sun on you. But yeah, it's funny. It's training in the summer can sometimes be really tough, but you really do get the benefit of when you're acclimated, it becomes much easier. And then especially when you get to the fall and you're looking at events like the Garmin-KC Marathon on October 16th. If you've trained, if you've trained through 70 degrees and 80 degrees and maybe even some 90 degree runs, and it's 45 degrees on race morning, you just you feel like you can run forever, and that is one of the big benefits of training in the summertime.
That particular time frame is like running in a dream. It's so good, especially the dog days of summer and then transitioning into the KC Marathon temperatures. Oh, so good. I agree. It's don't judge yourself on others. Like, you might see other people running and they look strong. You know what? They may have only been running for a block or two and you've been out there for 3 miles or so. Like, it's get out of the negative space. Everybody's going through it. It'll be all right. Everybody will absolutely go through it, and it's not an indicator of your fitness. It's just the world we live in.
Hey, Matt, I could talk to you all day, but I'm going to let you go. I know you got a busy schedule. Let's definitely check in again before the Garmin-KC Marathon October 16th. And thanks so much for your time, Matt. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Sounds good, Dave. We'll see you out on the training runs.
All right, sounds good. That's Matt Bates, Product Marketing Manager for Garmin Fitness. Again, check out their two brand-new devices, the Forerunner 945 LTE and the Forerunner 55. You can check those out at Garmin.com or check out Garmin Fitness on social media to see all the latest and greatest Garmin devices. All right, we'll take a timeout. Of course, the big story this year, other than the Garmin-KC Marathon happening in person, is the new course that'll be starting and finishing at the iconic Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. We'll take a timeout, and coming up next, we'll talk to Julian Sugasagoitia, the Director CEO of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. That's coming up next here on the June edition of the Garmin Kansas City Marathon Podcast. Welcome back. You're listening to the monthly Garmin Kansas City Marathon Podcast here on 810WHB.com. I am Race Director Dave Borchert. Thanks so much for tuning in today and checking out our June podcast as we work towards the Garmin Kansas City Marathon on Saturday, October 16th. Thanks to Matt Bates from Garmin, who joined us last segment, and now a very special guest, maybe one of the most prestigious guests we've had here on the podcast. It's Julian Sugasagoitia. He's the director and CEO of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. He's had that role since 2010. And as you know, the big news this year with the Garmin Kansas City Marathon is we are changing the race course, and it will start and finish in front of Kansas City's iconic Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. Julian, thanks so much for your time today. We're excited to talk to you and really excited to partner with the Nelson Atkins on the new race course for the Garmin Kansas City Marathon.
Well, we're so delighted to have you partner with us, and I can't wait to see all of those incredible athletes that will be showing up to take part in this Garmin Marathon.
I've got to ask you, Julian, and we haven't talked about this, but are you a runner yourself? Have you ever done any races, or have you ever gone out and watched a race?
You know, like when you said that you're having me as, I guess, like maybe I'm the only one who has never done a marathon, but I've always dreamt of, I mean, in the dream of doing it. But look, even running 1 mile is difficult for me. So, but it's a dream, and maybe one of these days I'll start training with all of you guys.
No, that sounds great. And we like to talk that, you know, we have distance options for all different fitness levels. We have a 5K, a 10K, half marathon, and full marathon. And we have a lot of people that just come out and walk the race just because they want to experience the, you know, the adrenaline of being with a bunch of people and all the spectators and whatnot. A couple years ago, we had an 80-year-old gentleman that walked the half marathon using a walker. So things like that are pretty inspirational. So one of these days, maybe we'll get you out to the start line. That'd be pretty cool.
You know, I might take you on that, especially because after all this year of COVID, I have definitely not done a lot of sports as I used to, and my gym routine has gone down. So it is time to re-pick it up, and why not? And this is like the perfect occasion. As you say, there's so many opportunities for people at different fitness level to participate and partake on the marathon. That is something that is really, really inspirational.
Well, one thing we're very excited about is the, you know, Kansas City is a hilly city, so it's almost impossible to come up with a super easy race course and still see all the cool parts of Kansas City. So, you know, really what the Garmin Kansas City Marathon is all about is showcasing the coolest parts of Kansas City and the biggest landmarks. And we know Kansas City has so much to be proud of with the Plaza and Westport and the World War I Memorial and downtown and City Hall, 18th and Vine, all this cool stuff. And I mean, you can make an argument that the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art may be the most iconic of all the Kansas City landmarks. So, you know, we've gotten feedback every year from the runners that their favorite thing about our race is the fact it runs through so many cool neighborhoods and past all these great Kansas City landmarks. So for us, having the race start and finish right there on 47th Street in front of the Nelson Atkins, it's a great fit with who we are and what runners love to do about what runners love about our race. So we're thrilled about it. But I guess from your perspective, what does it mean to have the biggest race in Kansas City starting and finishing outside of your iconic location?
You know, first of all, we love it. We love it because, again, the marathon does highlight the best of Kansas City, and that it begins and ends to this time in the heart also of what we call the cultural district or the arts district. And, you know, we're nested in the middle of incredible things like, just our neighbors, KCI, the Kansas City Art Institute, is the nest of a lot of young, talented artists in among our midst. Then the Kemper Art Museum, who's next to us, also is like a great also complement, and the H&R Block space, also all of the arts are there. But then you have also the campuses of Rockhurst, of UMKC, and Stowers, which is along with the also MRI Global, the greatest institutions of research, of putting forward scientific elements. And then one of the jewels that few people know in Kansas City, but I like they have to be even more highlighted, is the Linda Hall Library. It's one of the jewels nationally, also iconic on scientific research books, and I like every sciences. And so it's a great library. And then the Toya Miniature Museum, which is also another jewel in what we call the extended campus, you know, in which we're nested. So I think the marathoners will have the opportunity to go to all these places to see them, or after a good run, maybe just chill out in one of these places. But also, the Nelson Atkins right now, our sculpture park, has become such a destination during the pandemic when we were closed. As you know, for the long months that we were closed, it brought a lot of good and healthy environment for people to be socially distanced and also enjoy art in the wonderful lawn. So that sculpture park has brought a lot of joy. And today, busier than ever, because we also have art course. You know, the bustling idea of having a mini golf, paying homage to the work of art that we have in the collection. And this year, we're celebrating a new hall that was designed in homage to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, celebrating its 100th anniversary of the Kansas City Monarch. So it's just a great way to celebrate art and sports together.
That's awesome. And I went down there with my family, it must have been 2 years ago, you know, before the pandemic. And I remember we weren't aware of the golf at that point, and we tried to walk on and play golf. They said, no, you need an appointment because this is so popular. So that's really been a cool addition for you all. And maybe you can just talk a little bit about where things stand today for the Nelson Atkins. Are you kind of back to 100% business as usual, or are you just starting to come out of the COVID precautions? Or what does life look like at the Nelson Atkins today as we sit here taping this at the beginning of June?
So we're feeling very optimistic and cautious at the same time. So optimistic because I see new exhibitions are opening. So on June 6th, we are opening a new exhibition called Testimony, African American Artists Collective. So this is the great talent that we have in Kansas City that is going to be featured and showcased at the Nelson Atkins. Many of these artists are artists that we've worked or been close in many years, but it is going to be an incredible showcase of their talent. And so things feel that are coming back. We have also had, for instance, Tivoli Under the Stars. So again, our movies that we used to do in the theater, we're doing it outdoors, and that has been a great success. But we're still cautious because we still want to make sure that this virus that has caused so many havoc among our midst, and we have lost so many people, and we deplore that we take the last precautionary items from here to the next few months so that we're still cautious so that people can then really have this in the back mirror. So we are still asking people to go to our website, try to reserve their time, so just that their experience becomes more easy. You know? And also we are asking people to be considerate and wear masks indoors if they can, just so that we can have still those accommodations, because some people in our society have not yet been vaccinated or cannot have the vaccine, and they prefer that. So we're asking people to accommodate us on that. But for the most part, we're trying to start relaxing some of the numbers of people, so we have more people being able to access the museum. And so that is also bringing a lot of joy, knowing that little by little, if we still just stay a little bit the course of this pandemic, we will then beat it forever, because we don't want, again, spikes going up and down as we have seen in other countries.
Yeah, for sure. We're getting so close to that light at the end of the tunnel. The last thing we want to do right now is have a big surge in cases and have to go back and lock things down again. So I agree with you at this point. It's better to be safe than sorry. Speaking of Julian Sugasagoitia, he's the director CEO of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. I think I know the answer to this, but Julian, maybe you can speak to how tough the pandemic was for the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. I know you mentioned the sculpture park being a very attractive feature during COVID, but how tough was the COVID-19 really pandemic, especially at its peak, for you and the art community, and what were you able to do to, you know, survive and make it to where things are starting to get back to normal here today?
Very, very difficult, and you know, I think also it has been difficult for our communities and societies when we've lost so many lives to this pandemic. And you know, from a operational perspective, it was difficult for us to adapt and pivot to this digital world. But our teams were amazing. We were able to, as we closed the museum in March of last year, to very quickly start bringing the mission of the museum, that is to put people and art together in many shapes and forms through digital channels and provide safe ways of doing it, also, you know, encouraging people to visit the sculpture park. But we had, I mean, being closed for 6 months was very, very difficult. We had to reduce our budget. We had so many complications of that. So we're building from a different perspective. I mean, we are a smaller organization. Even if the museum just looks big and wonderful, but we have to take stock of what has been an economic very difficult situation, and we're going to build from there again. But I'm seeing with confidence our path forward now that we see also this COVID situation receding. But as I said earlier, we're still very hopeful, but also very cautious, so that we don't have another blimp on the horizon.
Julian, I think it's fair to say that most Kansas Cityans have been to the Nelson Atkins Museum in their lifetime, probably multiple times in their lifetime. But we do have a lot of runners who come from out of town, out of state, and in some cases out of country. What would you say to our runners listening who have maybe never been to the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, or maybe they think they don't like art or don't appreciate art? What would your message be to those folks who have never been out to the Nelson Atkins?
Well, that's a great question, because even if you've been to the Nelson, sometimes you've been because the school took to your space. So first, we want to be the most welcoming and inclusive museum there is. And therefore, we're free. We're open to the public. Again, we invite you to make reservations just to make sure that you have a perfect entry and that there's nothing obstacles or that there's no waiting for you. But we're open. We're free. We're open now from Wednesday through Monday, so we're closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And what I would say for people who say art is not for me is that come without any expectations, or if that is the feeling, is like, well, art, what does it have to say? Come with an open mind, because when you're in front of a piece of art, what you're seeing in our place, what we have is authentic works of art that an artist whose perspective and life and everything is and was a reflection of his or her time. And also, it's expressing feelings, not unlike the feelings one might have. And so it's a mirror of someone else's life and time and perspectives, but it's also a mirror of who we are today and how we relate to that. So that is a complex answer to say, enjoy this. There's some things that are so beautiful that you don't need to think them through and to just enjoy them. And so that is also casually visiting a museum just to see what appeals to you, what catches your eye, is a very good way. The other thing that I would also say for people say that are coming from out of town or who have never been to the Nelson is say, I'm sure that if you're coming from another country, you might find because we call ourselves like a universal or encyclopedic museum. We try to cover the whole world, because when the museum was created, the idea was that a lot of people would not be able to travel. So the museum had collections that represent the world, so that people in Kansas City, but also people coming from outside, could have a glimpse of what cultures and the world is alike. And so chances are that if you're coming and visiting Kansas City for the first time, you might find something from your country represented in our collection. So that is also a way to just feel home when you're away from home and see how welcoming Kansas City is as a city. One of the things, the reason I'm bringing this up is because one of the greatest moments and the most proud moments at the museum have been the collaboration that we have with the courts when we bring the courts to organize their naturalization ceremony. So there's times in that the Missouri courts bring 50, 60, or 100 people from sometimes 30, 40 different countries to the Nelson Atkins, and they become American citizens in that wonderful ceremony. And what you see is, first of all, the best of America coming together, people who have, for many reasons, come and brought their talents to this country and then become American citizens. And I always encourage them to see the Nelson, because the walls might have something from their culture, from their history, and sharing that is very, very important. So that's another way of inviting people from outside to the Nelson Atkins.
That's a great answer. Julian, one last question for you before we let you go. You've been a director and CEO of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art since 2010. I'm assuming you may not have spent a lot of time in Kansas City before that, and I would just be curious how your decade plus has been here in Kansas City, and what have been some of your favorite experiences and favorite parts about living in KC?
There's so many things to say about great experiences, and again, yes, prior to coming to Kansas City, I had known the collections, because the collections of the Nelson Atkins were taught even when I was studying art history at the Corée du Louvre in Paris. But living in Kansas City has brought me the joy of discovering a city that has so much to offer, both in the cultural sphere, but also, I mean, just the culinary scene in this city has just completely taken me by surprise, and the quality of the experiences you can have. Also seeing downtown completely also bursting with cranes and now with incredible new buildings. So there's a lot of energy. Of course, I would say COVID put a little bit of a slow, but on the other side, I saw also during COVID, a lot of people who were born here but emigrated coming back to the city because of the incredible quality of life. But I think the most incredible thing for me, and today I'm very emotional about that, is we came here as a family of four. My son graduated 3 years ago. Now he's at KU, and my daughter just graduated from Shawnee Mission East and is going to college this fall. So we came here, and it was a great place to bring up kids. And I cannot be—I cannot tell you how satisfied I am with these two kids that were babies or almost, you know, now mm-hmm. being in the beginning of their life, and having found a home here for these years was a very nurturing and an incredible experience.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. We're glad you've enjoyed Kansas City so much, and that it's been so beneficial for you and your family. Julian, thanks so much for your time, and thanks again for your great partnership. We're so excited to work with you and your staff at the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, and having the Garden Kansas City Marathon start and finish in front of the Nelson Atkins this year, and hopefully for many more years to come. But thanks so much for being willing to partner with us, and we look forward to seeing you out at the race on October 16th.
I will be there, and I tell you, I think they will encourage me to start now practicing and training with all of you. Thank you very much for inviting me to this conference.
That sounds great. Julian Sugasagoitia, the Director CEO of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, joining us here on the June edition of the Garmin Kansas City Marathon Monthly Podcast. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and wrap things up. You're listening to the Garmin KCM Monthly Podcast here on 810WHB.com. Welcome back. You're listening to the Garmin Kansas City Marathon Podcast here on 810WHB.com. I am race director Dave Borchardt. Thanks so much for tuning in. Thanks to Julian Sugasagoitia, the director and CEO of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art, for joining us last segment. And man, we're so excited to have the new course. Again, it'll make it significantly easier for our full and half marathon runners. The last 3 miles of the half marathon, primarily downhill. The last 5.5 or 6 miles of the full marathon, mostly a gentle downhill coming back from 75th and Warnell. And then the 5K and 10K courses overall, significantly easier with this new move. So not only can we provide a better runner experience with these new courses that start and finish in front of the Nelson Atkins, just the chance to have the race start and finish in front of an iconic Kansas City location like the Nelson Atkins, we couldn't be more excited. And you'll be able to see the Nelson Atkins in the background as well when we're having the big finish line festival presented by T-Mobile after the race in Tice Park, just on the south side there of 47th. You'll be able to look to the north, see the iconic Nelson Atkins and the shuttlecocks on their front lawn, which is pretty awesome. So thanks to Julian for joining us, and we're certainly very excited to be having this year's Garmin KC Marathon, October 16th, finish in front of Kansas City's iconic Nelson Atkins Museum of Art. Again, wrapping things up here, I hope you guys are surviving this hot and sticky summer weather like we talked about with Matt Bates. Don't stress about your pace. It's going to take, you know, a good 10 to 14 days of constant running in the hot weather to get acclimated, but you're probably going to have to slow down. Even once you get acclimated to the heat, don't feel bad about having to slow down or maybe take walk breaks. It is much tougher to run this time of year in Kansas City. I usually go in the morning, 6 or 7 a.m., it's the coolest time of the day, but the downside for that is it's also the most humid time of the day, so you'll be dripping and drenched in sweat if you do that. But early in the morning or late in the evening are good options. Obviously, late in the evening, you'd be looking at higher temperatures than early in the morning, but you do have much lower humidity normally late in the day, so those are normally your first and second best options. If you can avoid running in the heat of the day, that would be advisable. But also not a bad time of day if it's just horrible heat and humidity. Head to the gym, head to your basement, and get in some occasional runs on the treadmill as well. Anything you can do to beat that summer heat. And then when the nice, cool weather rolls around for the Garmin KC Marathon Saturday morning, October 16th, all your hot training miles will make it feel like you can run forever if it's 40 or 50 degrees on race morning. And we normally do have nice, cool fall running weather. I know it's rough sometimes getting through these summer training months with the heat and the humidity, but it'll all pay off on race day when the weather breaks and you get that cool fall weather and you just feel like you can run all day. So good luck with your summer training. We'll be back with you next month and really appreciate you tuning in. Again, this is Race Director Dave Borchard. You've been listening to the Garmin KC Marathon June podcast here on 810WHB.com. Then sleep somewhere else at night, going back to Kansas City. And I love you tears, but just how long can I keep singing the same old song? And I love you tears, but just how long can I keep singing? Song. I'm going back to Kansas.